So I was really seeking God on what to share this morning, dealing with mothers. And I spent several hours just going through my mind all the mothers in the Bible. You know, we got Eve, the mother of everything, right? And Mary, how can we forget Mary, the one that brought forth Jesus, and Elizabeth, who brought forth his cousin. And then I started thinking of Hannah, other mothers in the Bible. And nothing was setting right for me. And so I just decided, I shouldn't say that, I felt led to preach on mothers of revival. I'm thankful for every mother here, but we're all giving birth to something regarding revival. Amen.
Amen.
If God's speaking to you in the end times, there's a vision in you burning of something he wants to do in the end times you need to give birth to. We're going to tie to the mothers as a comparison between what you as actual mothers go through and what everyone goes through in bringing forth revival. Are you following me on that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, let's go to Genesis chapter 1 just to get a verse of scripture. Verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right?
Yes.
God had a vision at the beginning of what he wanted in creation. Amen?
Yes.
And again, this is one of the most powerful verses in scripture. When I was in school, back in engineering school, they taught us that time had a beginning. The second law of thermodynamics, it's called the law of entropy. Everything in the universe is winding down. Everything's burning out. In so many billion of years, the sun is predicted to burn out. Billions or trillions. So we know there had to be a beginning. Otherwise, we would already be in heat equality across the universe. Everything would be burned out. So we knew there was a beginning. I learned it again 50 years ago back in school. We also know matter's real. But it's not as real as we think. The more we discover about matter, the more we realize it's just energy particles held together by a network of, how can I say, quantum mechanics principles. But in the beginning, it says here, in the beginning, time started. The beginning, the start of time. God created time.
Yes.
It's believed in the third heaven, time does not exist. How do you have time not existing? It's beyond our comprehension. Amen? God created the heavens, that's space, and the earth, which is matter. It's known that all three had to come together, be created simultaneously. Because how do you have matter if you don't have any space to put it in? And if you have space and matter and no time, when do you put it? All three were created simultaneously, scientifically. And that's the first verse of the Bible. God had to have a vision of what he wanted for all this to take place at the same time. And it's interesting that scripture say from the beginning of time, God knew you. He had way back, however many thousand years ago was creation, God already knew he was going to have you birthed into the earth. You already have a mother planned for you. Amen?
Yeah.
So the first thing I want to talk about with a mother is conception. The mother can carry the eggs all of her life. In fact, if I understand right, she's born with those eggs. In fact, within the mother is already all the seeds of their grandchildren.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Once they have conceived. Do you follow me? Once the baby started to grow, the eggs for the grandchildren are already in the mother. So there's got to be conception. Something's got to happen to fertilize what's in them. And when God made you, he made you for a specific purpose. He had something in mind for you. I believe there's a high calling of God on every person on earth. When I was born in that unbelieving family, All those years I spent, you know, living out of the world system, living, pursuing earthly dreams. God said, no, I've got a high calling for you. I've got something I need you to do. And every person ever born on earth, every person alive today, God's got something inside of it. We'll call it an egg for something great. You know, if we think of great men in history, we probably have differing lists. But I think of Sir Isaac Newton, the father of Newtonian physics. Albert Einstein, the father of quantum mechanics. Really. Great artists, Da Vinci and others, great artists. They started inside of a mother's womb. Do you follow me? And they had a start, a birthing. And God has got something in you He wants you to give birth to.
Yes.
And it's something great.
Amen.
Amen. And so there's got to be a time of fertilization, a time of conception, where you get a revelation of what God wants you to do. God's never shown me yet the end of what He wants me to do, although I know that it involves manifesting end time glory. It involves bringing in an end time harvest. It involves walking in the supernatural love of God. God's got something great for you to do. Amen?
Amen.
But until you get a revelation of it, that egg remains unfertilized. I would venture to say very few people on earth ever get a revelation of all that God wants them to do. Few do.
I believe that.
But most don't. I don't know. Terry probably knows because she's amening up here. How many eggs does an average mother have?
I don't know. When I read it, it didn't say.
30 times 12, 360 eggs in a mother. I don't know how many it is. We know they eventually run out of them, right? One a month for so many years. Probably 4 years, maybe 400 maybe. Anyway, say 500 eggs. Now, I'm very confident nobody in here has got 500 kids. Amen. Maybe in, how can I say, evangelistic heart. But you don't have 500 natural kids.
One to two million.
22 million?
Yeah, one to two.
She looked it up.
Looked up what?
Looked up how many eggs a woman is born.
How many was it?
1 to 2 million.
42 million?
One to two.
1 to 2 million, okay. Oh, that's better.
I don't know, 500 is pretty high.
So there's been some very productive mothers. I think there's some mothers who have given birth to over 30 children before.
Wow.
There's one woman who gave birth to like 64 kids.
64 kids.
Some of them were triplets and double twins. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take it up to 100. Maybe a mother had 100 kids. Woo! She one tired woman. 100 children. If there's 1 million eggs, that's only 1 in 10,000 were fertilized. You follow me? Most of those go unused. And so much in us that's available goes unfertilized. We don't get a revelation of what God wants us to do. We just live our life out of the natural world system. We don't really tap into all that God's built us to accomplish. Amen?
Amen.
It's like the mother needs a time of conception. So do we. And the way to get that... In the Old Testament, the term they would use when a man and woman would come together, they would say, and Adam knew his wife, Eve. He knew them. Which is a Old Testament term for they had relations. But God says we're to know Him.
Yes.
And the way to get a revelation of what God wants you to do, to birth what He wants you to birth into the world, is to spend time getting to know Him. The more you spend time with God, that you get quiet and you pray, You say, God, show me your will. Show me your heart. It will start to birth vision within you. In other words, conceive, conception. In fact, one of the, we understand conception has meaning regarding fertilization, but also it has meaning in the world regarding an idea, a proposal, a presentation. Here's the artist's conception of what this is. And you get a vision within you of what God wants you to do, what you're able to do. I believe what God just placed in you at birth, even before birth, just got fertilized. Amen.
Amen.
That's step one of giving birth to God's plan for your life. Amen. And then there's the next step a mother goes through. The strip turns the right color. The rabbit gives up its life. You find out that they don't do that anymore, do they?
No.
No rabbits. Is once they tell you you're expecting, then comes the time of carrying. However long it is, the 8 months or so after you find that you've got a revelation, you can see you have to carry it. And it's been now 37 years that God showed me, God raising up cities of glory. Again, we're not teaching up this morning, but in 1989, thereabouts, I had a vision of a water tower opening up, and inside was a city shining with the glory of God. It was a full color, technicolor vision, sitting there praying, and boom, I'm watching a movie. That's just a piece of it. But when I came to Georgetown in 2001, that water tower was outside the window I was preaching in. The exact same water tower. And on the side of the water tower said, "Welcome to Georgetown." I know God wants to bring the glory to Georgetown in these end times.
Yes.
From a supernatural glory that harvests a city. Amen?
Amen.
Now that's 1989, it's 37 years. I've carried this baby for a lot of years. Amen? We'll get to stretch marks in just a minute, but I think I have a few. Is you'll carry it sometime before you see anything change. I was supposed to announce, never mind. I know somebody expecting. And all they had to tell them they were expecting was just the test on the strip. Said, "You're going to have a child." But physically, they don't notice any difference. Their shape hasn't changed. Now, after so long, morning sickness kicks in. That's kind of another clue, right? Unless you rebuke it effectively. But really, there's no physical change for several months that you notice any difference, right? You're carrying a vision. You know it's inside of you. But you're not seeing any change take place around you yet. That's the way it is so many times with God's vision. You want it right away. Back to Habakkuk, we've been studying Habakkuk 2. God said the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it's going to speak.
Yes.
In the end, toward the end, you're going to see some physical change take place. Amen. I don't know how long it is. About 3 months you start showing? Is it more than that? Five?
3 to 4 to 5.
3 to 4 to 5. Yeah, better. You start to show change. But with God's vision, you may carry it for years. But it's in there. Dr. Cho, he passed away a few years ago. Dr. Paul Youngi Cho out of South Korea. At one time had the world's largest church with over 1 million members. But when he started out, he had just a handful. He would close his eyes and see his place filled, packed out, and he would preach with his eyes closed to not tamper with the vision within him. Amen. And you got to guard that. You got to guard what God's shown you and keep speaking it. Keep feeding it. In fact, the next thing you do is, if a mother determines they're expectant, hopefully, maybe they adjust their diet. And maybe it's already perfect. But most mothers make some change in what they're eating. My daughter changed everything about what she was eating. I think she looked on the internet, and here's what was a healthy diet, and that's what she ate every day. But you're guarding the vision. Now, for us, for the mother, she may hopefully, you know, quit drinking alcohol if they do that. Of course, chances are you don't anyway. They're going to quit any drug intake, reduce some of the pharmaceuticals they're taking, whatever's necessary. In fact, I think my daughter quit eating shellfish. Well, she was expecting, because that wasn't healthy for the child. That was new on me. When I came into the scene, they were smoking, drinking, and eating all the shrimp they wanted to. Things have shifted over the years. Amen. Growing up, I had a problem with always being car sick. I'd ride in the car and get sick. I mean, sometimes throw up. And it turns out I wasn't car sick. It was all the smoke and the sealed windows in the cars. The kids were sucking in all the time. Get a car loop, you're like, oh, I think I'm car sick. We had some revelation to how to protect what's in us, right? So there's be a dietary change. But for us, once you get a vision, we have a dietary change. You're going to start feeding on the Word more. You want to feed what's in you. You're going to find things that deal with what God has shown you He wants you to do. I read stuff about the glory. Listen to it. I study scriptures about the glory. Meditate it. You feed on what will fuel what God showed you. Now, some people God's called to be a counselor. So what do? They take classes on counseling. They're feeding that vision. They're going to study it, meditate it. I've not been called to be a counselor. I counsel, but most of my counsel is, suck it up, cupcake. Here's the word you need. That's not always the best. But because I haven't studied it like others, I'll send people to, in some cases, to other counselors. And so you want to fuel the vision. If God's called you to be an evangelist, you're going to feed on things that feed that vision. If He's called you to be a teacher, you'll study things that deal with truths of the Word of God. Whatever God called you to do, you're going to feed. Right? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? You're feeding the vision. And not only do you feed yourself the right things, you cut off things you shouldn't be reading. When I was first saved, again back in 84, I lived off WJMM radio in Lexington, Christian radio. Lived off of it. Everybody on there, I'm listening. I'm just sucking. I didn't know nothing. I was about as Bible ignorant as you could get, except next to my wife. She knew less than I did. But I'm pulling in WJMM to bring in all this revelation about God, the Word, the Kingdom. And I'm learning basics. Once I started to get a vision, once some started to become fertilized within me, I could only listen to certain programs. And the more the vision became real to me, it reduced even how much Christian program I could watch of certain types. Because I'm giving birth to something by faith. I can't listen to unbelief Christianity.
Amen.
I can't listen to just hanging on Christianity. How much we're suffering. I'm hearing stuff that deal with the blessings of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
What are you doing? You conceived, you're carrying, and you're feeding it within you. That's what a mother does. Assuming they're taking it seriously, what's going on within them. And again, we make a mistake if we ever try to abort the vision. Well, I don't want to do this. I don't want this in my life. And of course, the same holds true to the natural. Well, I don't think I want this child. God didn't ask me what vision I wanted. He said, here's the one for you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. You know what happens? In most cases, when a mother's considered abortion, but she carries it to term, she ends up loving that child.
Yes.
and regretting she ever considered aborting the child. Now, if you've gone through an abortion, praise God for the mercy of God. Praise God for the love of God. He's a forgiving God. He'll see you through it. But I'm telling you, don't abort your babies and don't abort the vision God put within you. Did you get anything out of this so far?
Yes.
Mothers of revival. And then once you've carried the baby a while, comes the discomfort times. And it seems like they kind of increase the closer you get to delivery. During the discomfort, the mother's start to stretch. She can't, the legs want to cramp, can't seem to sit in the right position to get relief. And the closer she gets to delivery, then come the back rubs, you know, the can't sleep because of discomfort, pain, or whatever. The closer she gets to delivery, the bigger the vision's becoming within her, the baby within her. And the more effort there is to carry it, the more focus to carry it. The more discomfort, the more stretching. There's the stretch marks. And for you to carry your vision to its fullness, there's going to come a time that God says, I need you to stretch into this by faith. There'll be some discomfort. He'll say, sow this. Pray this long. Confess this every day, so many times a day. Amen. Refuse to try to manipulate people for resources. He's going to speak to you about the stretches to live by faith. Remember, the just shall live by faith. And that's when it gets fun. Because in the process, it could be that somebody takes your building away. The vision looks like it's maybe dead in the womb. I mean, I'd cast some things down. Looks like it's not working. Other people are saying, well, I don't believe it now. Thought this was happening, and they bail out. But you keep feeding, protecting, guarding that which is stretching you within. And the stretch comes when you have to stand when it looks impossible. You have to speak when it seems like the opposite is happening. Amen?
Amen.
And for the vision God put within you, that's going to be required. Listen, whatever vision God gives you is going to be bigger than you.
Yes.
Because He's making sure He gives you a vision that you need Him to see it come to pass.
Yeah.
And again, we made a list of the miracles that took place for us to get into this building.
Yeah.
I mean, timing, connections, finance, just miracle after miracle.
Yeah.
$80,000 coming to us from nowhere. What we needed to close on the building.
Yes.
Miracles. Because see again, if you could do the vision, you wouldn't need God. He's going to get you to a place you need faith. You need Him to do it. Mm-hmm. And there comes the faith stretch. Now, I've done whole messages on stretching by faith. When Moses came to the Red Sea with Israel, it looks like they're about to be destroyed, and they're saying, it didn't work. You brought us out here to be killed. And they're blaming Moses. God says to Moses, stretch out your rod over the water. And we see through the scriptures the word stretch being used for impossible situations being resolved by faith. Amen?
Amen.
And so don't be surprised if there's a stretch. Pastor Callan used to teach a message. He was the founder of this ministry, passed away March 3rd, 2021. He had a message about the Bible says, all of godly shall suffer persecution. The Bible lets us know there's going to be tribulation in the path, trials and tribulation. And he said, if somebody gives you directions to get to their house, and they tell you over the phone or by text or whatever, we text now, drive 10 miles down this road and 2 miles down this road and 5 miles down this road. When you get to this turn, this side road is going to be very, very bumpy, full of potholes. And he says, if you on the trip, you make that final turn, and all of a sudden your car's bouncing around, and things seem like, you know, falling apart, or you can even make it. He said, don't get distraught. Know you're almost there. And God said, at the end, there's going to be challenges. Stretch, stand, don't fear. Amen.
Amen.
And so, with the mother, when she's near the end, especially when contractions start to hit or whatever, don't get distraught. Oh, no, I didn't know it was going to be like this. You're almost there. You're about to give birth. I'm telling you what, when we get challenged, things look like they're not working. Your son's acting up like never before, whatever it might be. You're almost there. Well, see, they've been here for an hour now. They think they own the place. It's the puppies. Yeah. That's their signal. So there's going to be a discomfort. But now we're getting close to the birthing. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. I'm doing my best to merge revival and Mother's Day together. Galatians 4. Are you there?
Wait till Father's Day.
Yeah. Father's Day, we give away tools. This year, I'm going to pick out specific ones you can use on this project here. We had a contest earlier this year. Whoever could pull the most out nails in 4 hours got a free hammer. Nobody showed up. Said Peggy.
Peggy would have got it.
I was trying to figure out why it wasn't matching. It's the wrong book. Galatians chapter 4. This is Paul. He's been rebuking the Galatian church. He's concerned about their making it. They're starting to fall prey to deception. He said, my little children, verse 19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I travail in birth. When that mother goes into labor, it's not a fun time. I really think there's something supernatural God does in a woman's mind that wipes out memory of what she went through giving birth to some level. Or she would never allow it again. Get away from me! But there's a travail kicks in. I mean, there's moaning, there's crying out, there's I've changed my mind. Any ladies ever in the middle of birthing say, I changed my mind? Too late, right? That baby's coming, and it's not always a fun experience. And with us, Paul talks about travailing in intercession. Often when you're going to give birth to that vision God's got for your life, you'll be called to extended prayer times. Deep calling and deep prayer times, moaning, crying out. You can get into travail and intercession where you feel like your insides are turning inside out. Something inside of you just groaning to be released. And again, travail indicates you're almost there. And in intercession, it means something's being birthed. And Paul said, when I gave birth to this church, I went into travail. Let it not be in vain. In the same way, don't be surprised if God bringing you into that calling, into that assignment, you go into times of just deep prayer. Oh, Jesus. May start off as mild tongues, praying in the Spirit softly. But as you continue praying, and it's, and you get in times, many of you don't know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
There's times I can't help but pray in the Spirit. I can stop it, but everything in you doesn't want to stop it. I'm trying to think of a good example. Oh, gosh. Did you ever eat something really so good you didn't want to stop? Chocolate.
Yeah, spicy stuff.
You can get in praying in the Spirit where it's, and it happens to me often. I'm sure it does to many of you. I don't want to stop. Get to praying. And you just, everything in you, if you have to stop, it's like, oh, can't wait to get back in. As you continue in that phase, it will morph into deeper and deeper levels of praying. And often, I shouldn't say often, at times, it'll go into travail like intercession. And God again is birthing something through you into the world, into the world system. Amen?
Amen.
So the mothers on the table in travail, holding on the back of a taxi cab, and they start calling out, here's how close you are. Here's how close you are. Here's the crowning or whatever. Almost here. They'll even say push. They told you to push, didn't they? They tell you to push, yeah. Push. My mother always made fun of that. She said, push, you can't help but push. There comes a time you have to really go all in and push. You know, in this building, we've been all in for some time. We teach on being all in. Is that all your effort is focused on getting this done. But the mother in travail, time of pushing comes forth. She's almost there. The mother may not be happy at the moment, but the father's rejoicing. We're about to have a child born into the world, right? And then comes that birthing. What's birthing represent to us? Manifestation. I mean, that mother, she's moaning, hollering, praying, crying out, oh, God, get this out of me. But as soon as the baby's born, the Bible says, she has great joy. They put that manifestation, that baby in her arms, and she forgets the pain she's went through to bring this because of the joy of having given birth to something. Now, we were in travail to have a building for a year and a half. And I don't know about you, but I had great joy coming in here and having our own building.
Amen.
Great joy.
Yeah. Yes.
Understand, though, we manifested. But like with a child, once you birthed, the real work just begins. So we think about mothers, about carrying a child and giving birth, but it just starts there. The birthing is the beginning. Then comes the raising up, the nursing. Oh, part of our birthing is going to be all the new converts coming in. People that don't know the depth of the word, maybe that you know. Maybe you're like I was, brand new to the scriptures, knew nothing. Coming out of the world and there's stuff hanging on them. Stuff they've been addicted to or inclined toward, you know, things they don't know. One of my favorite stories, I heard this in August of 1993. I was at a Southwest Believers Convention, Kendall Copeland's convention, in Fort Worth, Texas. And Kenneth Cope was ministering, and he says, Max Gober, you're here. Come up and share your testimony. And Max Gober was a hardcore 1% biker. Got radically saved. He passed away a few years back. He was down in Alabama, had a great church down in Alabama. But he was an ex-biker. And he talks about how he gave his testimony. He knew nothing. Got saved radically, He's on fire for God. He talked about he went outside when he got saved and he goes, okay, there's a whole story to it. A woman came to his door. Came to his door sharing Jesus. And she gave him a tract. And he was so mean, he punched her in the face. Of course, she left. He goes to put the tract down. He couldn't. His hands were so grungy and sticky, it wouldn't come off his hand. He couldn't get it off his hand. Finally, reading it, and the Spirit of God hit him. He got saved by the woman he just punched in the face. Get saved. He walked outside. He's going like, look how pretty the grass is. Oh, little lambs. He was just totally caught up with God. And he's living with a girl and doesn't know what's wrong. So he goes to church and the pastor is teaching on fornication. The whole mess is on fornication. And Max afterwards says, preacher, what's fornication? And the preacher says, that's having sexual relations with somebody you're not married to. He goes, that's fornication. He went home, grabbed his girlfriend, threw her out of the house, said, we've been fornicating. God hates it. Get out of here. Kick his girlfriend out. Maybe not the way to go about it. And goes into the rest of his just amazing testimony, being a hardcore 1% biker, knowing nothing, into becoming a preacher. And then Kevin Culkin came around and took up the offering and says, it's all going to Max Gober's church. Like $50,000 he gave him that night. Once you've given birth, now comes the raising of all the little ones. And it's going to take patience. It's going to take understanding. It's going to take compassion. That's going to stretch you. The mother thinks she had trouble in that last few months of pregnancy. Well, she carries that little one around 24/7 and gets about 2 hours sleep a night. And if they have colic, good luck sleeping at all.
Yeah.
But there's carrying that baby around, you're raising it. And we're going to have to do that. We're going to see a big harvest of souls coming here. We've got to be understanding towards. Not trying to fix everybody. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let God clean people up.
Amen.
Yes.
Got a problem in the church, people come in, you're saved, okay, now you got to do all these things. God's well able to correct his kids. You follow me? Give them time. And then comes the changing diapers. Changing diapers. I don't understand women. I get a kick out of it. But I've watched it. They go to change the diaper. Oh, the little poo-poo. Get thee behind me, diaper. Now, I changed a lot of diapers. I had one daughter, my oldest, loved apple juice, and it made her explode. Stuff coming out of every area of that diaper. I would pick her up, put her in a bathtub, we had a little spray wand, pouring off and just hose her down. Shh. I may have done that before.
Yeah.
Hose them down. Then you found everything they ate walking around the house too. Anyway, changing the diapers. And it takes a special person to enjoy it. But when the little ones come in, there'll be strife arise, disagreements arise, accusations arise. Jealousy, whatever it might be, that the mature ones have to learn to change diapers. Amen.
Amen.
And not argue, you got to change that one. Just get her done. And then the feeding, my goodness. See, with a newborn, of course they're nursing, but even when they grow a little bit, they start getting fed. They get hand fed. The mother chooses everything they will eat. Amen. spoon feeds them or whatever form of feeding they're taking it. And the same way we get babies in here, they have to be spoon fed. I'm so glad some people saw something in me, they started spoon feeding me. They hand me tapes. Listen to these cassettes. Follow me. Read these scriptures. Give me books on the Word. Read these books. Or they're hand feeding me. And you get hand fed until you get to an age you can feed yourself. See, nobody's hand feeding me anymore. Now, I and you should have the maturity to choose what you need to feed on. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, this excites me. Karen's been a Christian for a long time. She's been with us 9 years. But we're using her YouTube channel in here. And I have it on every day I'm in here. I'm pretty much putting on YouTube, playing the video she's already watched. Mm-hmm. Where it starts, the one that starts connecting to others. And I haven't told her, but it so excites me what she's watching. Amen. Mm-hmm. I scroll through a few of the porn things, but then I get to the porn. Just kidding. It's all word. It's all scripture.
Yeah,
it's all conservative
really
news type stuff. What's that?
So that dog stuff is really bad.
Oh, yeah. There's some dog stuff in there as well, yeah. I definitely scroll past those. And so, hand feeding till they can feed themselves. Once they get to a level, my grandson's about to say turn two here in a couple weeks. You can say grandpa. Grandpa. And he counts. I don't know how high he counts now. Knows some letters. My daughter's working on teaching him. Well, see, there comes a time of hand feeding, then there comes a time of specific teaching basics, teaching understanding. Amen. We have a course in here we're going to start again fairly soon, called New Creations. For people that come in that don't know anything, and it's going to teach them basics of successful Christianity, revival, of stepping into the plan of God for your life. Right now I give them my book, 8 Steps to Fulfill Your God-Given Destiny. Did you guys finish that book yet?
Almost.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Enjoying it?
Yeah.
Good. And it sounds too confident, like, hey, maybe we'll go.
I'm learning how to read, though, too, so it's like...
Well, that helps, too, right? So there's a time of then teaching specific. They're growing up, they're teaching, and then they go through all these years of school and teaching. Patty asked me, for some reason on the way in here, what schooling does somebody have to be a construction worker? I said, none. Well, how do they do the job? I said, it's not done by going to school, it's done by mentoring. You give it to people to do it, and they teach you on the job training of how to do most construction things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Which may be some of the most valuable teaching there is, because it's hands-on, direct tie to what you're doing. I went to all those years of engineering school. God, I still don't know what an engineer did. Got hired, and they said, here's what you do. Oh, okay. This is what I do.
Same for lawyers.
What's that?
Same for lawyers.
Same for lawyers as well, right? They teach you all the basics, these principles. You have no idea what it's really going to be about. Amen. A lot of it is just doing. Then there comes a time as a child grows of correction. Now, in our case, most correction is going to be done by the Word. We teach the Word corrects. And if you're somebody that's not corrected by the Word, you're not hearing God. There's a doctrine out there right now, the hyper grace teachings, that God will never correct you. He can't see any sin in your life. If God's not correcting us, I've been hearing the wrong verse for 40 years. Voice, I'm sorry. Wrong voice for 40 years. He don't let me get away with anything. And if God doesn't correct it, my wife does. Amen. Sometimes God's correction is your wife's not going to like that. But again, part of raising up a body, part of us growing up ourselves is receiving correction. So there's proper feeding. proper teaching, correction. And once you get a child to the adult age, there comes co-laboring. You see a lot of business. You don't see as much anymore, but you used to way back. Business would be called such and such and sons. Never saw anything that was this one in daughters. It was always in sons. But where your kids are no longer that you have to teach them everything, now they're working with you. If you do it long enough, they'll be teaching you. My daughters instruct me on a lot of stuff. Usually, mom won't like that. But especially with technology. It took me many years, but I got where I could use some basic, what's the type of program? The art programs, Photoshop type stuff. I could do some basic Photoshop type stuff. And I'll post it. My daughter will say, "Dad, have you ever heard of AI? Heard of chatbot? Do you know what this will do?" And in 10 seconds, she'll send me something that's 10 times better than what I had. She just did on AI. I think I usually act like I didn't receive it. They go from co-laboring to adding to instruction. And the more we advance in the kingdom, the more we interact as a team. The babies become part of the active contributing body of Christ. As we grow into this, for us it means they start to carry their own anointing, their own giftings. God's bringing their own vision to them. And we step into the glory.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But it starts with the conception. But know every step of the way, work is involved. Amen.
Amen.
A lot of times the work is prayer. Sometimes it's seed sowing. Sometimes it's speaking the right words. Sometimes it's just standing. But God, through the scripture, used the birthing of a mother, compared it to us stepping into our assignments. Here's another interesting point I'll just bring out. I've taught on this before. But the word for womb in scripture, one of the words for womb is also the word for mercy. That God's mercy has given us capacity to have a conception area within that we can do what we thought we could never do. Out of mercy. Amen? Now get this. When the mother's expecting, she goes all those phases, the father can't carry the baby for that mother. Can't do it. He can encourage her. He can buy her flowers, gifts, take her out to eat, rub her back, rub her feet, you know, run and get the pickles or whatever. Oh, you need chocolate ice cream and pickles together tonight? Let me run to the convenience store. He can do it, but he can't carry the baby. And Father God, and the natural father's excited. He's watching the development with excitement, knowing very soon this child's coming onto the scene. And then I'll turn all the other work to the mother as well. She can do the diapers and the feeding, you know, anyway. Father God's watching our development with excitement. He will supply for us. He will comfort us. He will speak into us. Amen. He will get you exactly what you need at every point in time if we call upon him. But he can't carry the baby for us. We've got to guard it ourselves. Be willing to stand in faith. Speak the right things until we see it come into manifestation. But when the baby comes, it's going to be a glorious day. And our vision for this church is Georgetown is going to be filled with the glory of God.
Yes.
We're going to see it harvested, and God's going to raise up a powerful move of God out of this city. I believe with all my heart. Amen?
Amen.
And we feed it, guard it, and speak it. So keep speaking with me. We'll be back to all-night prayer very soon, as soon as I get these offices done. Get my recliner in here so I can sleep. My house right now is a disaster. I've got stuff piled up ready to come to the church. And we're very close. Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
Father, we thank you for your word. Continue to speak through this message into us today. We celebrate the mothers in here. And in fact, we celebrate everyone. But thank you for the mothers that have been wanting to bring forth increase. I thank you, Lord God, in this church there are none sick, none in pain, none in lack, none oppressed, none in fear, and none in strife. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.